Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of JHS Sevengard Laboratories Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Paramveer Singh, CEO from JHS Sevengard Laboratories Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to wish you all a very warm welcome to JHS Sevengard Laboratories Limited earnings conference call for the second quarter and half year ended 30th September 2022. On call with me today, I have Mr. Ashish Goyal, our group CFO, along with Mr. Neeraj Kumar and AD factors of our master relations team. I would like to share a brief overview of our company and its recent developments before we get into the business and financial performance. JHS Sevengard Laboratories Limited was established in 1996 as a manufacturer of toothbrushes. During the recent years, the company partnered with various industrial giants like Gillette and they, among others, to manufacture Oral-B toothbrushes, range of oral care products respectively. Subsequently, during the 2000s, we expanded our portfolio by adding three facilities to manufacturing toothpaste, mouthwashes, and denture tablets. Over the years, we further expanded seven prestigious FMCG brands to our portfolio, including P&G, Vela, Patanjali, Hindustan Unilever Limited for close-up toothpaste. The company also has its proprietary brand, Aquavite, which specializes in kids' oral care products. Today, we are India's largest integrated manufacturer of oral care products with diverse product portfolio for adults as well as children. JHS has six manufacturing units spanning over 20 acres in Himachal Pradesh. These include two units each for toothbrush and toothpaste that are Ayurvedic and cosmetics under the FDA category. The new plan for personal care products like talcum powder, lotions, shampoos has received all necessary statutory approvals for respective authorities and is ready for commercial operations. The company has a strong in-house R&D function and a well-established sales and distribution network across India. We also have strategic access to export markets covering the U.S., Europe, Middle East, Southeast Asian market. As of now, exports have dipped quite a bit, but we soon expect it gain some traction. With a dynamic and experienced leadership team, JHS has established itself as a trusted player in its segments and is well positioned to grow in the future. Now coming to some key developments over the year, in line with our strategy to add more partners and products in our portfolio during first half of this year, and we entered into an exclusive tie-up with Italian company that is Asana Group to manufacture kids' oral care products in India for their brand name Kiko. As of now, the company has commenced production and supply of toothpaste across the country and soon will start with toothbrushes as well. Asana has presence in over 120 countries. The United States market is second after Italy in terms of sales and in India. Kiko is among leading brands in kids' oral care healthcare with leadership position in Europe. Our focus is on further expanding geographical footprint to southern and central parts of the country, possibly through M&A. This would enable us to expand our share of products with our existing clients as well. We want to expand our portfolio to soap bars personal care products, etc. We are focusing on adding new clients and not only rely on the existing clients for business. This helps us to expand and reach newer geographies as planned. I am happy to share that this quarter we also added new clients in the toothbrush category like My Recharge, Indocare, CSD, Medbus, or part form Tico. Now, turning to our financial performance, Ashish, our CFO, will take us through the numbers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paramjit. Good evening, everyone. Now, I'd like to take you through the financial performance of the company for the second quarter ending 30th September 2022. We've reported rupees 24.05 crores in revenues during quarter 2 of financial year 23, as against rupees 24.64 crores in quarter 2 of the corresponding quarter previous financial year. There has been a marginal year-on-year decline of approximately 2%. This decrease is on account of drop in revenues from our major revenue contributor, which is toothpaste segment. However, with the addition of new customers for our toothpaste business, we expect the volumes and value to increase going forward. This was, however, also offset by good growth and significant tractions in the toothbrush business and retail business. We have reported an EBITDA loss of 2.49 crores. This can largely be contributed to the decline in the revenue of the manufacturing business. The PAT for the quarter 2 financial year 23 stood at a loss of 41 lakh rupees. As of half-yearly performance, as on 30th September 2022, we reported rupees 45.36 crores in revenues during the first half of financial year 23, as against rupees 46.22 crores in the corresponding period previous year. This decrease in revenues is again mainly on account of decline in the third-party business of toothpaste category, which has largely been offset with the increase in revenue from retail business. Our EBITDA for the period stood at a loss of 4.41 CR, largely due to the decline in the revenues. Our PAT during the first half year stood at a loss of 4.57 CR as against a profit of 18 lakh rupees in the first half of the previous financial year. The absence of exports and lower than optimum capacity utilization continued to impact profitability, but as our CEO mentioned, that we are working towards to increase our share in the export market as well. So that will be all from our side. We can now take questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aniket Redkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Hi, Aniket.
Yeah. So, can you give the revenue split product-wise and the segment-wise for this quarter and the half year?
Sure. So, as on the half year ended 30 September 22, we have done, from a segment-wise perspective, we have done a revenue of 83% from the manufacturing business, and approximately 4% of is from our own branded proprietary brand business, and another 12 to 13% is on the retail side. Now, of the manufacturing business, 30% is being contributed through the toothbrush segment, and another 50% is being contributed through the toothpaste segment, largely. And remaining is contributed by mouthwash and the other allied oral care products.
Okay. And what are the margins are we expecting from these new products, like the talcum powder, creams, and all?
So So as far as the semi-liquid category is considered, referring to creams and lotions, we are looking at a contribution margin in upwards of 20 to 25%. And as far as the talcum category is considered, we are looking at a margin upwards of 15 to 20%.
Okay. And sir, can you give the EBITDA margin for the same for toothbrush, toothpaste, and mouthwash?
So I can give you, as I mentioned, I can help you with the overall contribution margin category wise. For toothbrush, it will be in the range of 25 to 35%, whereas in the case of toothpaste, it will range from 10% to 25%, depending on the client volumes and business. And as far as the mouthwash category is considered, it is in the range of 35 to 45%.
Okay. So, sir, as far as export market is concerned, what is the export contribution for this quarter and the half year? And how do we plan to grow in the export market?
So, as far as the export contribution stands as on the first half of this financial year, it is somewhere around 1%. However, the company is already in advanced stage of discussion with various leads from US and UK markets, and is in the process of getting the necessary certifications in place. And we expect that by Q4 of this financial year, we should all have that in place. And the export numbers will again increase thereafter. And we are looking at it as an overall sale contribution of somewhere around in the range of 15 to 20% from export business from next financial year onwards.
Okay. So, can you give a brief on the AquaWhite brand which we have, and how we are going to, what kind of steps we are taking in to shape up our the own brand, and what are the recent development happening in this AquaWhite?
So, as far as AquaWhite business is considered, we are going pretty cautiously there in terms of which segment we need to focus and target in order to increase our market share. So we have been largely now focusing on the institutional business and the online business. As a recent development, we also got ourselves, the product got registered in the CSD canteens, which are the army canteens, and that is something which has also given significant traction for the AquaWhite business as an overall portfolio. So we'll continue to remain cautious in terms of which segment are we getting onto, and we'll focus on the institutional business largely, as far as our own proprietary brand is considered.
Okay. So, do we have any new products in the pipeline?
So, as far as the AquaWhite category is considered, there are continuous innovations in terms of product category and SKUs that are coming up, but well within the oral care portfolio only. But as a company on the manufacturing front, as mentioned, we are soon going to commercialize talcum powder also as a new category.
Okay. So, sir, just wanted to understand more about the financial part, that our EBITDA has declined. Is it just because of the revenue and the higher operating expenses?
Per se, largely because of the decline in the revenues, I would say, because as far as the operating expenses which have been reflecting at the consolidated numbers, those are largely on account of the retail business. But as such, it is largely the lower capacity utilization which can be attributed for the purpose of decline in the EBITDA margin.
Okay. And how do you see in terms of revenue for the next coming quarters? In terms of growth.
We are very excited and prepared to take up new clients, new business, new categories also. And we are looking forward for recovering the sale loss which has happened during the previous financial year, and coupled with the double-digit growth.
Okay. Got it, sir. This is from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ankit.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Jay Mittal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congrats on the tie-up with the Artsana Group. I believe Chico is a very well-known kids brand. If you could just shed some more light on the nature of your agreement. It mentions in your presentation that it's an exclusive tie-up, so would we be the only manufacturers for Chico brands in India, or how would that work, sir?
Good evening, Mr. Jay. Yeah, so as far as you rightly mentioned and observed that, yes, we have been successful in localizing their the supply solutions for the oral care category, and not just for the toothbrushes, but even for toothpaste also. We are proudly the exclusive supplier of these products to Kiko. And going forward, we are looking at that apart from meeting their domestic demands, we are also looking forward to be their global suppliers to other geographies as well.
I see. So we would be the only manufacturers for Chico, right?
For now, yes.
All right. So any sort of guidance or expectations, what kind of revenues we can expect from this brand maybe this year or, the next year?
So as our MD and the whole team has been focusing, that we will anyways not want to be dependent on any single client. But in terms of the revenue share, we are looking at in upwards of 5% as the overall contribution from this year, which will, again, with the growth, can go up to 10% in the coming years.
Okay. And would it benefit our EBITDA margins, or would that be around the same level as the current levels?
No. Yes, this new client, as we are adding to our portfolio, which they are better off in terms of the EBITDA margin considering the size and scale of business that they are currently having. So we are obviously having better margins here as far as this client and category is considered.
Okay. Great, sir. Great to hear. Sir, also wanted to ask, you mentioned that for the new talcum powder facility, we've received statutory approvals and everything. So what kind of timelines would we be looking at in terms of when production would begin and, the revenues from that particular facility would start coming up?
So apart from the statutory approvals, there's an approval on the product validation, which is currently in the process. And we are looking forward that in Q4, of this financial year, we shall start doing the commercial operations and the numbers shall start reflecting.
Okay. I see, sir. So, sir, any other, like you mentioned, the new products that are in pipeline. So, is there any time scale in terms of any new product up for launch this year?
So I would say from a product and client perspective also, there have been tie-ups which has been established in the first half of this year, which are currently under the process of getting commercialized. And we shall soon see new clients in the oral care category also, as well as new clients all together in the new product category as well, which includes talcum. And we company is also looking forward for some brownfield expansion, for which it is in advanced stage of discussion with two leads currently, and we are hoping that by end of this financial year we should be closing down on either of them or maybe both of them, and that would be the another portfolio that would be added to the company's kitty.
Okay. Very nice, sir. And, sir, it mentioned in your presentation that volumes reduced because of a particular customer. So would that be a one-off case, or can we sort of not expect volumes from that particular customer going forward?
I would rather say from a category perspective, this is the case, and per se this has also been impacted in case of MLM companies after the pandemic, their business have been in particular been impacted largely, but the company at the same time is constantly working to mitigate that volume loss and value loss by adding new clients like Artsana, and which are in the specialized category, which can support the volume as well as the bottom line as well.
Okay, okay, right. So it mentions also that some new customers have been added for the toothpaste business. So volumes would look upwards in the remaining two quarters of this financial year.
And even as soon as the recovery of these MLM company happens, which obviously as brand owners, they are constantly striving to, we shall, the business is still with the company and that shall be added further to our books.
Okay, okay. Great to hear, sir. Sir, just last couple of questions. For the brownfield that you mentioned, do we have any CAPEX budget or anything like that in mind?
Yeah, so the company is we have well covered as far as that brownfield, the current two companies that we are talking to, we are covered for that. And in terms of whatever is the CAPEX that would be required to undertake that. And if there is any additional CAPEX that would be required, company shall be opting its options in terms of the requirements. But as soon as those transactions get materialized, then it will be the right stage to call out for the requirement.
Got it, got it. Fair enough, sir. Makes sense. Just one last question. Do we have an R&D budget in terms of percent of revenues or something like that, sir?
So it varies because as we are dealing largely with these established clients which have their own preset formulations as well as the product ideas, designs. So we're principally following that. So there is a little lesser contribution there. But as far as these new age clients, like whether it's Kiko or maybe another company's regional MLMs are considered, that is where company is constantly striving to add new product USPs to its portfolio so as to bring them on board.
All right. Okay, sir. All right. Thank you so much for taking my questions. I'll join back if there are more questions. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Harshita Patel, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So my first question is regarding finance cost.
Ma'am, if you can change the mode of your answer, please. Your audio is coming in very low.
Am I now audible?
Yes.
Okay. My question is regarding finance cost. So our finance cost has decreased by 30% despite increasing long-term borrowing. So why so? Can you please explain?
Good evening, Mr. Harshita. So, as far as the finance cost is considered, since as the company is largely debt-free, so that finance cost which has been reflecting has been reflecting on account of certain vehicle loans, of which a few have been repaid in full during the relevant period. So that has been the prime reason for the reduction in the financial expenditure.
Okay, so how do we see the next 3 years panning out in the terms of top line and bottom line?
So we are really looking forward in terms of great numbers, in terms of whether it be the addition of new clients, new product categories, along with certain brownfield expansion and a couple of more additional projects that are coming up. So in terms of if I have to put it across, we are looking at a double-digit CAGR over the next 3 to 5 years. And as far as the profitability is considered, we are just currently operating in half year at a break-even level, and we're expecting a significant improvement in the EBITDA margins in upwards of 12% to 13% with the addition of these new clients and new SKUs. So we are looking at, in comparison to the previous financial year, in the current financial year itself, we are looking at almost 150 to 200% recovery in terms of profitability.
Okay. So any other new mergers and acquisitions we can expect?
Yes. As I mentioned, that there are currently two proposed transactions which are currently at the advanced stages. The companies are exchanging information on the same front for the purpose of diligence, and we hope that by Q4 we should be in a position to materialize either or both of them.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ashita.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Aniket Redkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to know about the R&D budget. What is your R&D budget?
So, Mr. Aniket, as I mentioned, that particularly in the case of third-party manufacturing, which is largely the business portion of the company, the product designs and the product formulation specifications are being provided by the clients itself. What company at its own end is continuously strives in terms of R&D is to cater to the regional and the new age customers that are coming into this oral care category. So from that perspective, we have an in-house team which takes care of all the R&D. From a budget perspective, we are looking at somewhere between 0.5 to 1% of our overall business in terms of developing all those new SKUs.
Okay, sir. So as far as expansion plan is concerned, what are our plans in terms of the marketing, basically?
So marketing, as since we are largely third-party manufacturing, so our marketing is more towards B2B, wherein to get new clients and new business, which we are continuously working on. And ultimately, it's the brand owners which really generates the demand for the end users, from the end users for the product. So from a B2B business perspective, we are adding more key account managers to our team to handle the export markets as well as domestic markets independently.
So are we planning to expand the business development and the marketing team, basically?
Yes.
And what would be the budget for the same?
So from a budget perspective, we would need another two key account managers at a senior position, which would be handling the different geographies and the new categories also.
Okay. And sir, one last question. There is increase in the current investment from March 2022 into September 2022 from 2 crores to 10 crores. So I just wanted to understand on it.
So basically these are the funds which have been realized from our debtors, and currently these will become the as a supporting infrastructure for the purpose of all those M&A deals and the CapEx plans. So this is largely the liquid funds which are available with the company.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Nayan Gala from Etika Wealth. Please go ahead. Nayan Gala, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please proceed.
So I have recently started to track your company, and I was just going through your presentation. So I see in terms of your geographical breakup in terms of revenue, so FY21 we were exporting around 5%, which in FY22 it has come down, to nearly zero. And going ahead, if you can, help us understand what is the plan in terms of, which geographies do you plan to focus?
Good evening, Sunan. As you rightly mentioned, yes, there has been a significant decline in terms of the export markets, but the company has been is now going post-COVID is going pretty cautious in terms of selecting the category and the clients as far as the export market is considered, and now is now focusing on the US and the UK markets, for which the currently we are in the process of getting relevant certifications which are required for the purpose of exporting of oral care categories. And we expect that by Q4 all those certifications shall be in place, and going forward from next financial year onwards, we are looking at an upwards of 5% to 10% contribution from the export business per se in the overall business.
Okay. And this will be a majority of will be European and American markets that you are focusing currently?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the opportunity in terms of the export market, if you can, you know, elaborate on that part as well?
So, post-COVID, everybody is looking towards India as the next global manufacturing hub. And that is what we want to really tap on and convert that this opportunity into real business. So we're really excited about it. And apart from US and UK markets, we are also working to get into the African markets also directly, which were currently being earlier being supplied through the UAE and maybe the Afghan nations. So we are looking at to enter that market directly as well.
Okay. And in terms of, so I can say around 10 to 15% of the overall revenue that we are targeting over a period of next 2 to 3 years. Is it correct?
Yeah, coupled with the growth in the domestic business as well.
Okay. Yeah, no, I was just asking about the export business.
Yes. We're looking at that kind of a contribution from export markets going forward.
Oh, okay. And do we have any plans to, you know, incorporate our own brand and, you know, sell under our own brand? Or we
so
are
we
focusing on white labeling?
So we already have our own brand by the name of Equa White, which is largely catering to the kids' oral care category. And we will continue to focus on that through the institutional and the online channel.
Okay. And in the adult category, do we have plans in the near future?
So we also have a adult category along with the kids category. But as a USP, we are focusing on the kids category because that's where we add value rather than being just a me-too customer.
Okay.
Me-too brand, sorry.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll just join by the queue for more questions.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Jay Mittal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Goel. Thank you for taking my question again. I just wanted to, if you could shed some light in detail about this recent demerger and amalgamation notification about the GHS Sunguard Retail Ventures and GHS Sunguard Brands Limited. What the intent is, and you know what to expect.
Sure. So as far as these three entities are considered, for which also the segment reporting is being done. So whereas GHS Sunguard Brands Limited as an entity is particularly dealing with the proprietary brand of the company, which is Equa White, into the oral care category. So under the composite scheme, which you just referred to, we are merging GHS Sunguard Brands Limited in the parent business of GHS Sunguard Laboratories Limited itself, since we are any which ways the segment in terms of the customers and is very focused on institutional business. But in order to reduce the administrative expenditure and bring in the synergies from a product innovation perspective, these two entities are getting merged. As far as the GHS Sunguard Retail Ventures is Limited is considered, that entity is getting demerged and getting separately listed, since that business is totally different from oral care as well as manufacturing. That's purely a retail business wherein we are having retail outlets at different airports across the country. Also, we provide manpower solutions there to various PSUs. So from a risk profile perspective, risk and return profile perspective, that business is completely independent.
Okay.
So that is
okay.
Where the company is getting that entity as separately listed and while merging the branded business with the parent entity.
Understood. All right. Makes sense. And sir, just lastly, over the next 3 to 5 years, sort of taking a medium term to longer term view, if you could give some general guidance about where we can expect growth to be coming from in terms of brand or in terms of product category and in terms of geography, if you could just, you know, give some details in that.
So, apart from the, since anyways there are limited players and there are new age customer brands which are coming in the oral care category. So apart from the organic growth, well within the oral care category, in order to have additional growth as a company, we are looking forward, which we are already working, and as our MD and promoter has also been mentioning, that we are diversifying ourselves into the new product categories also. As well as we are increasing our footprint in terms of manufacturing facilities across the country, which will be happening by way of greenfield projects as well as brownfield expansion. And exports, as we just discussed before this, is anyways a focus area, because as far as the India market is considered, the top six customers or top six brand owners, We are there with most of them, and in order to get more business within the oral care category, it is the export market now which the company shall focus and get the volumes from.
Okay, understood. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up from the line of Nayan Gala from Ertika Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question again. So, sir, I just wanted to understand in terms of the working capital requirement in our business and the working capital days in our business.
So, as far as working capital in terms of number of days that is required in case of the manufacturing business, considering the overall mix of the categories as well as the client and their terms, is effectively anywhere between 45 to 50 days, which is the requirement in terms of the working capital.
Okay. And is there any, like, do we plan to even, you know, improve it from this levels, or this is the best industry standards?
No, this will further improve, and this has anyways reduced over the past 3 years, and this will further improve with the addition of new product categories as well as the new client base.
Okay. Do we plan to, you know, focus on the export market as well, wherein, you know, 10 to 15% is what we are targeting. So how will the working capital, you know, gear up in that way going forward?
So as far as the export business is considered, with the new clients, we'll be probably working on a very aggressive payment cycle. So we are not really looking forward a substantial increase in our working capital exposure on that front. But yes, probably something which is currently reflecting would be the similar levels that the maximum exposure would be in case of these new clients.
Okay. And sir, what is your ROCE plans for the end of the financial year and maybe 2 years, 3 years down the line?
So the plan is obviously to further improvise and increase it and bring it to a higher or maybe something to a double digit number. But we're expecting that to happen over the next 2 years, when this new businesses from new client exports as well as the new category will start reflecting.
And will it be in the range of 18 to 20% or around 15%?
Maybe somewhere in the lower double digit numbers, you can say.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Paramir Singh for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Pertaining to the closing remarks of the Q&A, I thank the entire team of JHS for their untiring effort, hard work, and dedication, which drives the company forward to various market conditions. Also, I appreciate all of you for participating in our conference call. Please do get in touch with our Adfactors Investor Relations team for any further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of GHS Sevengar Laboratories Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your